So let us pray as we stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. May it be open to us this morning afresh and anew. Spirit, stir in our hearts and minds what you are calling to hear to us today. Amen. Amen. Please do grab a seat. Have you ever noticed how children often end up sounding like their parents? A child says something and everyone laughs because it's exactly what mum always says. Or they make that exact same facial expression as dad. Sometimes they even develop the habits without realising it. My favourite moment recently is Thomas, my Thomas, who's three, says, "That's all right." I'm like, "Wait, what are you saying that for?" And it turns out I say "that's all right" all the time. But he's picked up a Gloucestershire accent since moving here. So he's like a little farmer kid with it. It's great. But whether we like it or not, families have a way of shaping us. We begin to resemble the people we belong to. And I think that truth lies at the heart of our readings today. Paul tells us in that reading in Romans that through Christ we've been adopted into God's family. And Jesus tells us that we are the good seed growing in God's field. And together, I think they ask this one important question. If we belong to God's family, does our life bear the family resemblance? If we belong to God's family, does our life bear the family resemblance? Because Paul begins with these remarkable words. We are debtors, not to flesh, to live according to the flesh. He's saying that sin no longer gets to tell us who we are. And in the verses preceding it, it's important to note that Paul isn't condemning the human life, far from it. He is indeed emphasising that it's God's gift that we live as God's own children, even in our own bodies. Imagine this, you finally paid off your mortgage and the bank writes to say, "Congratulations, you owe us nothing more." Now imagine continuing to send that monthly payment because you simply got used to doing it. Most people may think that's absurd, yet Paul says that many Christians do something similar. Christ has freed us from the power of sin, but we sometimes continue living as though sin still owns us. We might return to old habits, carry old guilt, listen to that old voice that says you'll never change. But Paul says that voice is not the truth, that one is lying. You don't owe sin anything anymore. Because he says instead, if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Notice he doesn't say again, just try harder. It's about allowing God's Holy Spirit to reshape us from the inside out. Then Paul gives us one of the most beautiful descriptions, in my opinion, of what God has done for us. You have received the Spirit of adoption. God hasn't simply forgiven us or just cancelled our debts. He has welcomed us into his family. Through Jesus, the creator of the universe, we are invited to call him Abba, Daddy, Father. Not a distant ruler, not an interested judge, a loving father. And children naturally, as we say, begin to resemble their parents. And that leads us into Jesus' parable. Jesus describing the world as a field. The farmer sowing good seed, but during the night an enemy scatters weed among the weeds. As both begin to grow, the servants are horrified. "Shouldn't we pull up the weeds?" they say. It's probably what most of us would do. Because we like things neat. We want problems solved quickly. We want evil dealt with immediately. Maybe we ask, if God is good, why doesn't he simply get rid of bad things? Yet Jesus' answer is surprising. He tells the farmers, "No, let both grow together until we harvest." And we compare this to last week where we had that parable of the sower, talking about how people's responses to the gospel are so varied. And so today we have this story about the weed, about a story about internal conflict, about comparison, about the church community, specifically at that time in Antioch, but relevant today. Sometimes I wonder if we look around our world and wonder if the weeds are winning. We see the war, the violence, dishonesty, division. Closer to home, maybe we see broken relationships, illness, grief, anxiety. And it can feel as though evil has taken over the field. But Jesus reminds us that appearances are not the end of the story. The harvest belongs to God. He has not forgotten his field, nor has he forgotten his people. And I think there's another lesson hidden in this parable. The servants seem remarkably confident that they know exactly which plants are weeds. The farmer isn't so sure, so I wonder. It's very easy to become experts at spotting everyone else's faults. Maybe are we much less skilled at recognising our own? Because Jesus reminds us at the end there that final judgment belongs to him, not to anyone else, not to any one of us here. Our calling is not to spend our lives identifying the weeds, but our calling is to be faithful wheat, to grow, to bear fruit, to reflect the character of our Heavenly Father. And that brings us back to Paul's image of adoption. Children resemble their parents. If God is our Father, people should gradually begin to recognise something of him in us. Not perfection, none of us could manage that, but a growing resemblance. Perhaps a little more patience, a little more kindness, a little more forgiveness, a little more generosity. Those things don't earn God's love, but they flow from it. They're the family resemblance. And perhaps that's why in our lectionary today, these passages belong together. Because Jesus tells us where we are. We're in that field where wheat and weeds grow together. But Paul tells us who we are. We are God's beloved children. And knowing who we are changes how we live where we are. It means we don't despair when we encounter evil. We don't panic when life feels messy. We don't become cynical because the world isn't perfect. Instead, we remember whose we are. And because we know whose we know how we are called to live. As people led by the Spirit, as citizens of God's coming kingdom. Finally, Jesus points us towards that ending. The righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. The Father that Paul has said we are adopted by. The Father, Jesus says, will welcome his children home. That's our destination. And he says, one day the weeds will be gone. One day evil will be no more. One day every tear will be wiped away. One day God's family will be gathered safely into his kingdom. And I think that hope gives us the courage for today. So perhaps this week we leave with one simple question. If someone watched my life this week, whose family would they think I belong to? Would they see someone shaped by fear? Or would they catch glimpses, however imperfect, of the love, patience, and grace of our Heavenly Father? Because that's what the Holy Spirit is doing, day by day, choice by choice, quietly shaping us into the likeness of Christ. Until the day when the harvest comes, and as Jesus promises, the righteous will shine like the sun in the kingdom of their Father. So may we live each day as children of that kingdom, confident in our Father's love and growing ever more into his likeness. Amen.
Amen.